Okay, well, we're ready to move on. New series, and it's called Let's Grow. Let's Grow. All right. So, bow heads, close your eyes. Let's give this time to God. Thank you, Father, for your word. In fact, can we just pray together? All right? Repeat after me. Thank you, God, for your word today. I'm ready to hear it. I'm ready to believe it. Let it function in my life, to bring unction in my life, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, welcome. New series. We are all on this journey of God, right? And often it's called a walk of faith. A walk of faith. Walk means what? Movement, which means it's never static. It's always moving. And listen, this walk, it's a walk of faith. That means it's interactive, right? And it's dynamic. And so, it's all about God, isn't it? And everything with God starts with Jesus and ends with Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things unto him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. He is the head, he is the beginning, he's the end, he's everything in between. In other words, it's all about his teaching, his life, his example, his ministry, his death, his birth, his resurrection, and the covenant that he made with you and I, that he would be our God and we would be his people. He's the vine. We're the branches. In this life, we are to be like him. In him, we move and live and have our being." That's what the scriptures tell us, right? Listen, what Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, in the Message version says, So come on. Let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Who's the work of art? We are to be, right? Let's get on with the grand work of art, grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths aren't the basic foundational truths. Turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning in trust toward God, having faith in God, baptismal instructions, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. These are foundational things we need to understand. And the writer of Hebrews says, God helping us will stay true to all of that. But there's so much more. So let's get on with it. That's our theme today. Let's grow. Let's get on with it. Amen? Psalm chapter 1, 1 to 3. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or sit, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law," in other words, on God's word, He meditates day and night. Remember I explained that word meditation actually means to mutter? That means you not just get it into your mind, meditate in your mind. It needs to be getting into your heart so that it literally mutter, it comes out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, streams of living water will flow from his belly." He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. The Bible talks a lot about trees. Jesus talked a lot about trees. Trees represent life, people. Another mention of trees, Psalm 52, verse 8. The psalmist says these words, "But I am like a what? An olive tree flourishing in the house of God. This is the confession. This is the declaration of David. Remember David? He's the giant slayer. Remember that? He became king over Judah and Israel. He did mighty acts. He tried to even build a temple, but his son Solomon built, but David said, well, since I can't give it, I'm going to give all my resources. I put all my wealth into this temple, this glorious temple for the Lord. This is David. This is the confession of David. Listen, almost every day somebody will ask you this, something like this. How's it going? How are you doing? And when David was asked that same question, what was his response? I am flourishing in the house of God. How many people would answer the same way? Right? How many people would actually do it? David's answer tells us that he sees himself as flourishing, thriving, growing, moving forward, and not stuck in his life. He's experiencing a fruitful, abundant life. That word flourish is defined on your screen. Flourish means to grow vigorously, to succeed. Yes, God wants us to succeed, to thrive, to prosper. This is God's will for your life. But here's the reality. Not all trees flourish. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, says Jesus saw a fig tree with leaves, but that tree had no fruit. Mark 11, 12 to 15, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one eat from who? From you. He didn't say, no one eat from it. He said, may no one eat from you. Again, he was personifying this tree, wasn't it? And his disciples heard him say it, and that tree withered. Trees can represent people. There's only one thing that Jesus ever cursed. You know what it was? Hypocrisy. And it was only one people that Jesus rebuked that way, and it was the Pharisees. Why? Because they had a form, they had religion, but they had no fruit. It's like going to a store. I say going to Canadian Tire, because we're guys, right? We like Canadian Tire. Or sometimes Costco, right? And you see this incredibly power tool, and it's advertised. It's got all this, it's an amazing tool. It's the tool of all tools. And it's amazingly packaged. Bright packaging, great graphics on it. So you buy it, you bring it home, and you open it up, and it's stuffed with cardboard and styrofoam, but there's nothing else in it. That's what religion without a relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. Amen? Listen to this. True godliness requires a genuine internal transformation by God's power, not just an outward display of religion. God's plan for us is also seen in Isaiah chapter 61 on your screen, where Isaiah says to give them beauty for ashes, to give us beauty for ashes, the most beautiful, the most precious treasure, gift that God could ever give us is Jesus Christ. He gave us Jesus, a brand new life through Christ, instead of the ashes of our old life. He gave them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. We sang joy this morning. What a great song for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called what? Trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Wow. There's so many people, a lot of Christians not growing, not experience the plan that God has for their life. You know why? because they've developed this attitude that says, ah, whatever will be, will be. Whatever happened, will happen. Listen, there's a lot of things happening in our world. There's a lot of things happening in our city. There's a lot of things happening in the people around us. That's not the plan of God. Would you agree with that? The challenge is for us is literally to come under God, surrender our lives to Him, and let our lives come in alignment for His purposes, for His plan. If you look at the analogy of a tree, you can actually see stages. I preached this before, so it's kind of familiar. I mentioned this before. There are actually, you can see three, I'm going to give you three stages that I see in the life of the tree. Number one is a small tree. A small tree in a pot. No, you don't leave it in a pot. Why don't you leave it in a pot? Listen, because if you leave it in a pot, it won't die, but it won't grow. It'll only grow to a certain point, right? And a lot of people are like that. They're meant to be bigger. They're meant to be more than they are right now. Bigger in influence, bigger in wisdom, yes, even bigger financially. But the reason, I'm just going to, the reason I'm not bigger is why? Because they've settled for smallness. Smallness. So they think smaller, they obsess over the little things, petty things of life, and in some case, and recently, well, why did they do it? Here's why. In some cases, something happened to them. Something negative. Maybe a failure, a bad experience, a disappointment, or they got caught up in this offense. But for whatever reason, they've internalized it. Internalized it, became small thinking, obsessing over small things, petty things. They themselves became petty. But not only that, somebody else comes along to get them out of their small thinking, to get them not to think so small. But instead of responding, you know what they do? They defend their smallness. And then they just go on and tell you this big, sad story of their life. Amen? Isn't that truth? Some people say small-minded, because they can control small. Their world doesn't get very big. They don't step into new relationships or more friendships. They have their own little clique happening. It's just me and you, my dog named Blue. We're traveling and living throughout this land. They have this clique going, and they're nervous if their friend starts talking to somebody else's friend, or if their friend gets a friend. They're controllers. Controllers like to keep life small, keep it the same, predictable, controlled, small, and petty. Now, I'm preaching to you. And if you're feeling this, if you're here today and you feel, you know what, Pastor Doug, I need to move ahead. I've got things to do. I've got things to learn. I need to grow. I want to grow. Let me tell you, if that's the way you're feeling, that's the way you're supposed to feel. God put in you a desire not to stay the same, but to grow. Amen? I want to grow. That's what you're supposed to do, not live small lives. Last point on this heading, it's okay to start small, but it's not okay to stay small. Amen? Your kids, Caleb, your kids, when you first met them, they've probably gone 3 or 4 inches. They're getting bigger and bigger. And that's the way they're supposed to be, right? You don't want them to remain small. You want them to grow up. So does God. Luke chapter 2:52, Jesus grew. Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and all the people. That's God's plan for you. You were made to grow in all seasons. Remember that Jesus checked the fig? It's a picture of not just in 1 or 2 seasons, in all seasons we can be growing fruit. You were made to grow in all seasons, at all times, and all things. I can't preach this message without preaching 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 11, 13. Here's what it says. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fancy win. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Wow. This is so good, isn't it? It's so true. Your lives aren't small. God says, I've never meant for you to live a small life. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. I says, it's so easy to blame people. Well, it's my husband's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's the economy. It's Carney's fault. Maybe it is his fault. It's my family that I came from. So easy. But Bible says, no. This small thinking, it's in you. What does he say? Live openly. Open up your life. Pull up the shades. Let the light come in. Live with expectation. Amen? Live expansively. Push back. Expand past the limitations. Amen? Expand your territory. We were made. I said, you know, the thing about us Christians, we were made to be emotional. Not stoic. Stand here and worship. Ah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, God, you're so good. Blah. No, we would need to be expressive, passionate about life. Remember what Paul said? I take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. Amen? It was Jesus who said, the violent, the kingdom of God advances, and the violent take hold of it by force. Take hold of the kingdom. Amen? Listen, we're not about being comfortable Christians. We're about being growing Christians. Isn't that right? We need to be growing. And I say, it's not about being perfect. It's not being totally without sin or struggles or habits. It's not what you're struggling with is. But the big question is, are you pushing through the challenges of your life? Are you pushing through? That's the question. We're not about being small. We're to grow. Second stage, the average tree. Average tree, not a small tree, but not like the tree in Psalm chapter 1. Average is the standard of most people. It's like, it's the good enough. You know, a word that is synonymous with averages is almost like it. You know what it is? Mediocre. Average actually means mediocre. It's the standard of most people. This is a great description. A wife comes to her husband and says, dear, man, we've been arguing a lot lately. We've got some issues. We need some counseling. We need to go to Cleansing Stream, which is coming up, because we all have issues. But the husband says to the wife, oh, come on, dear. Yeah, we argue sometimes. Yeah, we have some issues. But listen, our marriage is no different than most other people's, right? How about your work? Ask you about your work. How about your job? How's your job? Oh, my job, just average. But listen, if you want a breakthrough, if you want a promotion, if you want to advance, then you can't do your job like most other people. Amen? What did Jesus say? He said, you got to go the extra mile. Be ambitious. In other words, go the extra mile. Be ambitious. Excel. Stand out of the crowd. Be above average. Stand out. Amen? Next picture. Let's bring up the next slide. What's after that? You know what that little guy is? What's it called? A chameleon. What does a chameleon do? Just blend it to its surroundings. Jesus said we can be chameleon Christians. And the tendency for, you know, we can just blend in with the crowd. We just like be like everyone else. We were never supposed to be like everyone else. You know that? If you're a believer in Christ, you're not called to be a crowd Christian. Blend in with the crowd. You know what? If you study the gospel, Jesus was always trying to get his disciples. He could not make disciples in the crowd. He had to separate them from the crowd. Amen? He He didn't want them to be like the crowd. Crowd Christians, chameleon Christians, like most people. Listen to this verse, Psalm 45, verse 7. The psalmist said to God, you love righteousness. Now she's talking about Jesus. But listen, in this world, we're to be like him, right? So you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by what? Anointing you with the oil of joy. Let me tell you, the anointing, the call of God on you sets you apart. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. God is speaking to his people as they're coming out of the desert. They're heading to the promised land. And this is what he says over them. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Holy, you know what that means? It doesn't mean, the original word holy means set apart, consecrated, sanctified to be you for God's use. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Wow. And almost, that's Old Testament. But let's look at a parallel scripture, almost the perfect, the same verse said in a different way, slightly different way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where God says to you and I today, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Wow. Let me tell you, does that sound like ordinary? Does that sound like average? No. God never intended our lives to be small or average, but to be number three, flourishing like an olive tree. Flourishing like an olive tree. Psalm 52, verse 8, again. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. There's many reasons why David said that. Here's some reasons. I'm going to give you a few. The olive tree represents prosperity and longevity. They can live for literally thousands of years. This picture up here is the picture of one of the sisters' olive trees of Noah. That's the name. Sisters' olive trees of Noah in Lebanon. They are local legends, very old. Some estimate them to be between 5,000 to 6,000 years old. Okay, well, wait a minute. Creationists have calculated the earth to be approximately 6,000 years old. That means that they were there in the time right after the flood when God restored the earth. They were there in the time of Noah. I wonder if these trees could talk, what they would be saying to us. Isn't that amazing? Since the beginning of the earth, the olive tree. Here's another reason why David said, I'm like an olive tree. Because they are highly prized because of their usefulness. Pure, costly, anointing oil that they fill the lamps in the tabernacle of Moses, giving out divine light. Mixed up in the incense, the anointing oil do as well. They were also known for their extraordinary resilience, their toughness, their ability to handle drought and sub-zero temperatures. They grow and they thrive, even in the hard places, even in old age. It's still lush, and it's still fruitful, and it's still flourishing. Let me tell you, this is God's will for us, to be fruitful and flourishing. Let me talk for a minute. If you've received Christ, if you Jesus into your heart, and if he's your Lord and Savior, then the Bible calls what you happen to you is that you've become born again, right? Born again. Let me talk about born again for just a minute. First of all, John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, right? Okay, now, let me explain this to you. Being born again is when God creates within us a new spirit and a new heart, which makes us capable of perceiving that which our natural mind can never, ever be able to perceive. Do you agree with that? When we first come to Christ, we usually come with a passion and expectancy that's looking for a supernatural experience. We have within us this, we have an innate, an inner sort of awareness that we've stepped up to a threshold of something new, a new life, a new existence. You know what it is? It's Holy Spirit. It's drawing us into kingdom living, into a supernatural life, to be a planting of the Lord for the display of His glory. Amen? But, sadly, we can tend to lose that passion and that expectancy. And when that happens, you know what happens? It's usually replaced with religion, religious ceremony, ritualism, and dead works. Hundreds of people come to Christ, come to God, with this incredible passion and faith in the Word of God. But over time, and I've written this out because I want to explain it in the right way, it seems to be an inexplicable mystical process, their passion begins to wane, and the fire goes out. Isn't that true? We can lose our fire and our passion for Jesus. And so just like the children of Israel, we can be like the children of Israel who believe God enough to follow Moses out of Egypt, but they did not trust God enough to have Him lead them into the promised land. And for us, it's the promises of God. I said, we don't want pie in the sky when we die, do we? You know what? We want pie now. Pie now. God says eternal life starts the moment that you receive Christ into your life. Eternal life doesn't begin when you go to heaven. It starts right now. Amen? We can enjoy Him right now. It's all about relationship. Listen, I'm preaching this today because I want to help you recover your passion for God. I want us to be rekindled to love God, the fire of God in our hearts. This is such a good verse, and I'm finishing up fairly soon here. Romans 12, 11 and 12. Be enthusiastic. That word enthusiastic breaks it down. Entheos means to be full of God. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune, connect with God at all times. This is God's will for you, a life that is flourishing, fruitful, and on fire. Amen? Paul modeled this when he said, 2 Corinthians 12:15. He said to the Corinthians, I will very gladly spend. I'll spend my life for you. I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, if I can reach souls. David's life was summed up in these words in Acts chapter 13, 36. When it says, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. See, that's success. It's not how long he lived, but how he served, or whether he served God in his generation. It's the same thing for us. Amen? So in other words, success is how you spend your life. Success is living to be spent. Charlie Kirk said something that echoes in my heart as a pastor. He said he wished pastors would speak the truth so boldly that his voice would no longer be needed. And he said he admired pastors who stood strong in a culture that resisted the gospel. And he longed for more of them to rise up. Listen, Charlie Kirk gave his life for the truth in a time when many people would even hesitate to even live for it. He died for freedom, the very freedom that Christianity, the very freedom that Christ gave to the world that protects our ability to spread the gospel so that people could come to Christ. Amen? And my prayer is that his life and his death would awaken not just us pastors to speak without fear, but would stir Christians everywhere to live courageously for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? There's this saying, a candle never lit never fulfills its purpose. Its whole reason for existence is to be consumed by giving out light. You know what? That's us. On your screen, this is so true. The measure of a life is not in its length, but in its impact. You can live 100 years and make no difference, be useless to God. Yeah, you go to heaven, but you make no infant. You make no significance. Can a person live a useless life? Yeah, you can. So let me finish with quickly this. Application, how do we grow? Growth requires effort. You don't grow physically fit by just walking into a gym. You don't become spiritually strong by showing up in church. It requires effort. It requires some discipline. It requires something of you, giving of yourself, using your gifts, talents, time, and even resources in the house of God for the kingdom of God. It requires discipline, some stretching, yeah, and even some pain. But it's worth it. What's that saying? No pain, no gain. And that's why at City Light, we keep challenging you. Make an impact. Make a difference. Grow. Flourish in the house of God. You make an impact, a difference, and you grow when you join a small group and you expand your area of relationships. You make an impact, a difference, and grow when you serve other people other than yourself. You make an impact, make difference, and you grow when you give. When you give to people, you give to the house of God. You make an impact, you make a difference when you grow, when you volunteer, when you serve. We've got so many areas of ministry. We need people. We need to expand our ministry team. We keep challenging you because growth happens when you step out of your comfort zone. And when you start stepping out of your comfort zone, you will step into your calling. It takes effort to grow. So here's the conclusion. Let me say this. You are alive in this generation for a reason. Will you stay the same? Will you settle for average? Or will you flourish by living out God's purpose in your life? Let me just cap it off with this last scripture. This is God's will for you and me today. Psalm 15, verse 14. Says, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's God's intention for you. Increase, growth, blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. Amen? Amen? Did you hear it? Did you receive it? Do you believe it? Will you put it into practice? Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Let me pray. Thank you, Father. God's plan and beginning is relationship. God's plan through Jesus Christ is relationship. God's plan for eternity is relationship. That's the reason why God sent his son Jesus, so he could restore a relationship with you. And it's a relationship that's so close as a father to a son or a father to his daughter. So close. This is what God wants for you today. He wants to give you a relationship with him, a brand new start in life, and an eternity in heaven to continue that relationship. If that's you, you're here today, and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, you haven't received him into your life, Holy Spirit's not living inside you, because when you invite Jesus, he comes and literally abides in you through Holy Spirit. You become a different person. If you've never done that, God says it's time to you make a decision to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, to be born again by the Spirit of God. If that's you here today and that's what you want, bow your heads, close your eyes, repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that what you did on the cross, you did for me. Thank you for shedding your blood and paying for all my sins. Today, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. And Lord, help me to live this life. Make me into a new person, I pray. In Jesus Christ, I pray.